As senators, indeed as people all over the United States, indeed the world, wish to address the extraordinary, tragic information flowing about alleged atrocities perpetrated by U.S. forces and perhaps others, that they incorporate in every statement a reference to the courage, the sacrifice of the men and women, the armed forces of our nation, of the coalition forces that are fighting with us in Iraq as well as Afghanistan and elsewhere around the world, and indeed the impact of this tragic series of revelations on their families back here at home. Be ever mindful that here in the United States and in the homes of the coalition forces and other nations are the wives, the children, the mothers, the fathers, the others who are in strong support of their loved one beyond the shores. And this story hits home ever so hard with them. So I do hope my colleagues and others, as they address this issue, take the time to include reference to the valiant work being done by uniformed people of the armed forces of many nations and their families. The allegations of mistreatment of the prisoners by some members of the armed forces, if proven, represent an appalling and totally unacceptable breach of military regulations and conduct that could, and I repeat, could undermine much of the courageous work and sacrifices by our forces in Iraq and around the world in the war on terror. The vast majority of our men and women, as a distinguished Democratic leader said, 99.99%, fully understand their obligations to conduct themselves in accordance with military, national, and international standards, and most particularly the standards of professional conduct that are taught each soldier, sailor, airman, and marine of our forces. Mistreatment of prisoners, no matter what their reason for incarceration, is not what the uniform of the United States stands for. It's not what the United States stands for as a nation, and it's not the way for anyone who wears that uniform to conduct themselves. The Armed Services Committee received a briefing from senior Army officials yesterday. We did receive, I think, a considerable amount of information that is not freely in the press today, but I think in due course that information will be and should be shared publicly. But nevertheless, we have begun our probe of this particular case, and I commend the committee for its actions so far. We had 3/4 of the members of the committee in attendance yesterday, and there was a very vigorous questioning of the Army witnesses. While informative, the briefing revealed the need for more extensive public hearings from civilian and military officials, and I've made requests for such hearings. Immediately following our hearing yesterday, I was joined by Senator Levin, the ranking member. You always must remember that under our Constitution, it is very clear, and the long traditions of this country, the civilians control the United States military. They have the ultimate responsibility of the actions of the men and women in uniform. They're the ones that promulgate the orders down from the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States, to the unit commanders. And consequently, the civilians must accept that responsibility. Secretary Rumsfeld, in a press conference yesterday, addressed the nation. And as I said, I have been in consultation with him in his office about an appearance, which I would anticipate would take place very shortly following the public statements to be issued, I believe, today by the President of the United States. I fully believe that the most constructive course of action at this point is to fully understand, I repeat, to fully understand the extent of the problem, no matter how much time it requires to gather all the facts, no matter how difficult and where we must go to get all of those facts, no matter how embarrassing those facts may be, get the facts out and the story so that not only the Congress of the United States can reach its judgments, but indeed the American public and others around the world, because this is and around the world story at this point in time. Our great nation has had a symbol of freedom and hope for its entire existence. The world looks to us as the standard bearer of how best to bring about freedom for others, how best to protect those values which we hold so dearly, and for which generations of men and women have gone forth from these shores, not to conquer, not to take land, but simply have gone forth in the cause of freedom. I believe in due course, once this story is fully understood, and we will have the ability as a nation to apologize through our chief executive, the president, through others, through this humble senator, for the actions taken. And most importantly, the assurances to the world that we will not see a repeat. We will not ever again see the repeat. I've had the privilege to have had association with the men and women of the uniform for over 50 years. When, as a young sailor in the closing year of World War II, I began my career in the training commands of the United States Navy. And I've had many opportunities in the ensuing years to work with the men and women of the United States military. During the war in Korea, I served as a Marine. During the Vietnam War, I was privileged to serve over 5 years in the Navy Secretariat. And we have our problems during that conflict. But I doubt any of those problems parallel in seriousness the consequence of this framework of allegations today. And therefore, it is a duty upon us to leave no stone unturned to reveal all the facts and to give the assurances it will not happen again, and to place into the military such authorities as they need. And I doubt if there's anything under statute law that needs to be added. The authorities they need, the clarity of those laws and regulations, the training that should follow from it, so that this incident can never be repeated. Again, as we proceed over the next days and weeks, we must be mindful of the millions of American men and women in uniform, past and present, who have honorably, who had great sacrifice, had defended the laws, the rules, the traditions, and the values enshrined in the U.S. Constitution in the American way of life. The actions of a few must not be allowed to tarnish that image. And of course, I'm very mindful of the fact that at Memorial Day, in just a few weeks, we will dedicate a magnificent set of structures on our mall to the men and women who served during World War II, some 16 million. I had the privilege of going down the other day with Senator Dole, our former colleague, whose wisdom, whose energies, have contributed greatly to this magnificent memorial. And as we walk there together with other senators from this chamber, there are a total of 7 who served in World War II, Dole said, yes, the monument stands as a symbol for the sacrifices of those in uniform, some 16 million. But he said it also stands as a monument in testimony of the home front. And those of us who have memories of that period remember how well this country was unified. We had rationing. We had war production. We worked around the clock, not only to supply and equip our troops, but to provide equipment for our allied forces. It was a magnificent chapter in American history that cannot be tarnished by the act.